Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on WHKW AM 1220, The Word. And hope you'll be able to join us and give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And we're also going to talk about a variety of things and some things happening in the world, in the Middle East, and some things that we were talking about at church on our Friday night Bible study, and a little bit more last Wednesday and Sunday and things like that, and just some things that see going on in the world around us today. So I hope you'll stick with us tonight and give us a call. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program tonight. We do pray that we could be a blessing, that we could be an encouragement, that we could be a help to somebody tonight, Lord, in some way. Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity to help use us to direct somebody that they might be able to trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a beautiful day here in Northeast Ohio. I saw a map. I was at the nursing home service today, and we were visiting some people after the service, and I was in one of the rooms, and they had a weather report on, and they were showing national maps, and it was almost unreal. There were warmer temperatures in North Dakota than there were in New Mexico on the map for highs today. And just an unusual weather pattern. Last year at this time in northeastern Ohio here, we were under snow, had been under snow since the middle of November, and I don't think we got out from under the snow until about April. And this year, so far, we've only had, depending on where you're at in northeast Ohio, one or two good snows, and that's it. Absolutely unusual, but certainly am enjoying the mild weather for a change. It's certainly a lot warmer than it was last year. Don't think it's global warming, though. I think it's just variation that we have. And if you look at the weather report sometimes when they give record temperatures and highs and lows and things like that, you see that we've had highs and warm, mild winters and cold, freezing winters in various times in the past before when we had the ice age coming in the 1970s. We were having extremely cold weather, and then it warmed up. They had warm weather before that and cold weather before that, and it's cyclical. And but not getting off into that so much tonight. Something else I want to look at a little bit more realistic and a little bit more, affecting our lives today, especially in light of the fact that the Iranians have threatened to close the Strait of Hormuz, where about a third of the U.S. or the world's oil supply passes through. And some reports believe that if they were to shut down the Strait of Hormuz and shut down that oil transportation, because oil is a world commodity, even though it's produced in various places around the world, we could certainly be producing enough in this country from known reserves that we wouldn't have to worry about it. But current administration doesn't want us producing our own oil or allowing the pipeline to connect with Canada that has vast oil reserves that we could tap into without worrying about the Middle East. But be that as it may, the shutdown of the Gulf of, or the Straits of Hormuz there on the Persian Gulf would, a lot of people think, cause oil prices almost immediately rise to anywhere between $200 and $500 a barrel, just almost overnight. And if you don't think that's going to affect you at the pump, think of what you're paying now, which is quite a bit higher than it was a year ago, quite a bit higher than it was 2 years ago. And if you think about what you're paying now and how that's affecting you in your pocketbook, wait till gasoline at the pump goes up to the $8 a gallon that a little over 4 years ago, or about 4 years ago, I guess, when candidate Barack Hussein Obama said that he thought $8 a gallon gasoline would be a perfectly reasonable thing. It's just that we should go up to it in increments rather than right away. And I think he might get his campaign wish there if they block the Strait of Hormuz. But Iran threatening to do that, they are a rapidly progressing towards the development of nuclear weapons, which they have said that when they get them, they plan to annihilate not only the state of Israel, but they're also now saying that they want to annihilate Jews throughout the world. And we've talked about that at our Bible studies and church services at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. We've talked about that several times, that if the Islamic fundamentalists could have their way in eliminating the nation of Israel, then they're going to go after Jews throughout the world, because as long as there's a Jew living anywhere, they're not going to be happy. And and as I said, Israel is the little Satan anyways, and America is the big Satan, or the great Satan. And they said after they destroy Israel, they want to destroy America. And when you're talking a fanatical regime filled with people who believe in the theology of the Shiite Muslims, where they believe that the 12th Imam, who's waiting patiently, biding his time for a couple of centuries now, down in a well, if they can bring the world to the brink of disaster, that the 12th Imam will emerge from the well, and he will save the world, and he will institute a worldwide Shiite Islamic caliphate with Iran at the top of that. And so therefore Ahmadinejad will, and the mullahs in Iran will be the world leaders. And whether or not you believe that, they believe that. If you don't think they believe that, listen to some of Ahmadinejad's speeches at the UN and some of the things that come out of there. Go look online, you can find any of this stuff. The fact of the matter is they want to bring the world to chaos. See, during the Cold War with the Soviet Union and to China to a lesser extent, we were dealing with people who didn't want to be totally destroyed. We were dealing with people that they calculated that they could not overwhelm the United States and destroy the United States and survive. And that was the doctrine of mutually assured destruction, appropriately called MAD, because that's much what it was. Well, I watched the movie Dr. Strangelove, I guess. That's an old cult classic. But MAD, mutually assured destruction. You can't do that with a regime that wants the world to come to the to almost be destroyed. They want to bring the world to that point because they believe that, according to their theology, that's going to bring the 12th Imam out of his well. And then there's going to be a worldwide Sunni caliphate with them at the lead. Well, let me get back to something here with that. Iran works through proxies in the world, and certainly Hezbollah, the party of Allah, is working throughout the Middle East and Syria, which has Iranian tanks and troops in it right now, and other proxies that Iran has used in a effort to destabilize Israel and further their causes. We've talked on the program at various times about the battle plan in Ezekiel 38, which more and more I believe is going to be during the early part of the tribulation after God catches away the believers out of the world. But Psalm 83, a friend of mine brought this up recently, and that tied in with some things that we were talking about at church. in some studies that we're doing on Israel and Israel's relation to the world. And Psalm 83, and we'll get to some callers here in just a minute, but let me just read something from Psalm 83 here real quick. And the question that was put to me is, do you think this is prophetic? A lot of people seem, I've seen some things since this over the past couple of days, but in Psalm 83, we're talking about the enemies of Israel, and they say in verse number 4, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Sounds exactly like what Ahmadinejad is saying. It sounds like what Hamas and Hezbollah are saying. Sounds like what the Palestinian Authority is saying. Sounds like what the Muslim Brotherhood is saying. Sounds like what fill-in-the-blank Islamic fundamentalist group Sunni or Shiite is saying. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarines, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Again, that sounds like fill in the blank of your favorite Islamic jihadist. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind. Now notice this as he comes into here, as he comes in the end of Psalm 83, verse 14. As the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord, and let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, and that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. And what's interesting about that passage is that you see elsewhere in the scriptures where it appears that the house of Jacob is going to be instrumental in this destruction that's going to take place. And let me turn over here to, Obadiah, a little book of Obadiah. There's only one chapter there. Let's see, right after Obadiah here. Here we are, after Amos. Obadiah, got it here. And in Obadiah, let's see, let me drop down here. Obadiah chapter 15, and the Bible says, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Now, this is against Edom, and I'm going to come back and fill in the gaps on some of these places here in a minute. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, thou shalt drink, and they shall swallow down. They shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob, notice this, the house of Jacob shall be a fire in verse 18, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. What that's saying there is the Jewish people are going to defeat those and burn those that are dwelling in these areas symbolized by the house of Esau, the plain of the Philistines, Ephraim, Samaria, Gilead, places like that. And in verse 20, it says, the captivity of hosts of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And Zarephath is in the north, which takes you up into Syria. Zarephath is roughly about the same latitude as Damascus, only on the coast above where the city of Tyre was located. And this gives the indication that the house of Jacob and the house of Joseph, that's the Jewish people, are going to kindle a flame in the house of Esau and those surrounding them. The plain of the Philistines, that would be the Gaza Strip area, and you get into Ephraim and Samaria and places like that, Gilead, we're talking the West Bank territories and into Jordan, and of course, Zarephath, you're talking up towards Syria, and going back to Psalm 83 there, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagarines, you're getting down into Jordan again, and the southern portions of some of the areas around Israel, which when you tie in the Hagarines, brings us down around to the area of Mount Sinai, which most likely was located in northwestern Saudi Arabia. And certainly a very interesting scenario that's laid out there. And we can talk about this some more tonight, but if you've got questions, of course, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have John in Cleveland, I believe, patiently waiting for us. And John, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you tonight?
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Well, I read a passage that I had never noticed before, and I was going to have you read it and make your comment on it.
All right. What passage is that?
The 24th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 6.
Okay, just give me a moment here. Isaiah 24, you said?
Right.
All right. Let me find here, Isaiah 24, and we are going to... The first six verses, you said?
Right.
All right, Isaiah 24, verse 6, or 1 through 6. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. And therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. And the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and a few men left.
What do you think of that last sentence?
And a few men left. Well,
it says that the earth would be burned.
We know that during the tribulation, certainly, during the tribulation time frame, there's going to be several battles. The Isaiah 38-39 battle. And then the Battle of Armageddon, and in those battles, it looks like there's going to be nuclear exchanges and large portions of the earth burned, and in some of those battles, you know, large portions of the earth's population are killed, so that by the time of the end of the tribulation, the earth's population will have been reduced greatly. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 24, I believe it is, says that if it went on any longer than the 7 years of the tribulation period, and in particular the last 3.5 years, there wouldn't be anybody left on the earth. So I think that could be a good indication of that right there, just looking at that off the top of my head right here.
When it says a few men are left, who do you think the survivors will be?
Well, at the end of the tribulation, we know that when Jesus returns, and you can read about this in Zechariah chapter 14 and the corresponding passage in Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus sets foot on the Mount of Olives, which, interestingly enough, Zechariah chapter 14 says that it will split down the middle, and geologists have documented that there is a large fault that runs through the center of the Mount of Olives, exactly the way that Zechariah lays it out. So apparently Zechariah was either an outstanding geologist, or he had some inside information made available to him about that fault. During that time, when Jesus returns, and again, Zechariah 14 Isaiah, and Revelation 19 states that he will destroy the armies of the Antichrist, and he will destroy the enemies of God. So the only ones that will survive who are on earth alive at the time of his return will be those Jews and those Gentiles who have embraced Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they have survived the wars and the persecutions and things during the course of the tribulation period. And that relatively small number of people is going to go on into the millennial kingdom of God. And they, of course, will marry and have children, and they will be much like we are today. They'll have a body with a sin nature. They'll need to come to a point where they put their faith in Christ as their personal Savior, just like we need to today. Those are the ones who are going to populate the earth. And of course, we who have been removed prior to the tribulation, we come back with Jesus at the end of the tribulation, at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, and then we will be here used in God's ministry. We'll be serving him in some capacity during that time period. Relatively few people are going to survive the events of the tribulation, and then certainly all of those that have taken the mark of the beast by that time, all of those that are serving the Antichrist, all those that are against God, will be destroyed at the return of Christ at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. So only a very few people are going to survive the tribulation.
I was listening to a program earlier tonight with Ernie Sanders. He doesn't seem to feel that it could happen this year.
Well, we don't know, and I'm not going to set a date. I don't want to pull a Harold Camping, you know. I'm not going to get the money sent to me that he got. But he didn't hesitate, even though he was wrong several times. It didn't stop him from predicting dates and things like that. I was going to say, I look at the events of what's going on with Iran right now, and it looks like this could be something very easily. In fact, I was reading a secular article earlier that said that the attempt of the Israelis to take out the Iranian nuclear program may not work if they try it alone, and it may cause a broader Middle Eastern war. And they went on to note that the Hezbollah and Hamas and Syria and the Palestinian territories would rise up, and already Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood, who is sweeping the elections in Egypt, and the second largest party is a group that, if anything, is more fundamental than the Muslim Brotherhood. They've all said that as soon as they consolidate their hold on the government, they want to vacate the treaty with Israel that was signed by Anwar Sadat back in, about 79 or so. And if people remember that, Sadat was assassinated by the Muslim Brotherhood for daring to sign a peace treaty with Israel. Well, so any thought that they'll keep it is a pipe dream.
Am I correct in my understanding that the dispensationalists do not feel that Armageddon can happen this year?
Oh, not Armageddon. No, by no means, no. Armageddon is at least 7 years away.
So you don't think it can happen this year?
Oh, absolutely not. It's at least 7 years away, because Armageddon does not take place until after the tribulation begins, and the tribulation does not take place until after the Lord removes the believers out of the world. After the believers are removed out of the world, the Antichrist will come to power, and when he signs a covenant with the Jewish people, I believe it probably be with the nation of Israel, but when he signs that covenant, then the seven-year period will take place. Well, and then 7 years after that is when Armageddon takes place. So we've still got a long time to go.
I guess I've always felt that instead of the tribulation being 7 years, that it's actually 5 months.
Well, you can't base that in the Bible anywhere. I've never seen anything in the Bible. I've seen everything from Daniel's prophecy of the 7 weeks and things in the the Bible's pretty clear. It's 7 years. It's a seven-year period divided into two 3.5-year periods. 3.5 plus 3.5 is seven. There's nowhere in the Bible that gives a tribulation period of that short a period of time.
Actually, it's in the book of Revelation.
Well, if you can give me chapter and verse, I'll show you where you're wrong, because it's not there.
Well, I've read it.
I mean, that period of time is related to something that's taking place during the tribulation. But it's in the course of a longer period of time. There are judgments that take place. In fact, I think one that I'm thinking of is the pit that opens up with the locusts, the things like locusts come out. I think they have a period of time for maybe like 5 months or something like that, that takes place. There's some things like that, but that's a small portion of the overall 7-year period.
Well, I'm kind of worried that you feel that Armageddon is so far off.
Well, it's at least 7 years away.
That concerns me that you...
Well, I stand on the Bible with that. I thank you for your concern. But, until the rapture takes place and the Antichrist is revealed, and that's what I'm talking about here with Isaiah, we started in Psalm 83 and there in Obadiah, and some other passages that we haven't got to, but when you look at that, you see that there's this battle that is going to take place, and there's some indications there too that Israel may be severely weakened, and their military reduced in power, and their population reduced considerably. And if that's the case, you could see where they're going to be willing to sign a peace treaty to avert any further war. That peace treaty, of course, being violated later on, and Iran and the Russian Confederation and others, Libya, Ethiopia, different places coming in. But we're coming up on the break. John, thanks for the questions there. Appreciate that. And stay tuned for the second half of our program.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on WHKW AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll stick with us. And certainly we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church, as we said, in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us out there. And things we talk about here, we talk about at our church. And our Friday night Bible study, we spend 2 hours just informally going over these same things. As we said before, that was the genesis of this radio program. We're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And if you're looking for some kind of unusual gift for somebody, or just collecting old memorabilia of it, just about any kind, Civil War or old jewelry or coins or stamps or postcards or just about anything, why don't you check out Frank's Antiques in North Royalton and let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're talking about events in the Middle East and events with Iran saber-rattling in the Persian Gulf and threatening to close the Straits of Hormuz, the Straits of Hormuz, and also talking about the impact that could have, and more importantly, the prophetic implications with a battle involving the areas surrounding the Middle East. And give us a call tonight if you've got some questions about that or other questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Toll free. We'll get you on here tonight. And our last caller had a question about a five-month period, I believe it was, that was mentioned in the book of Revelation, and that's Revelation chapter 9, and again, that's the fifth angel's sounding, and it's one of the judgments during the course of the seven-year tribulation period where these locusts with power like scorpions come out of the earth. And verse 5, it says, "And to them was given that they should not kill, but they should have should be tormented 5 months." So that's where the 5 months, just for a small portion of the tribulation period, a particular judgment during the overall course of judgments poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. But if you've got questions, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have, I believe, Coach Dwayne in Michigan. And welcome.
Hey, well, this is Coach Dwayne. I'm not in Michigan.
Oh, okay. It says here, I was going to say, I hope you hadn't defected.
No, what it is that I received a letter from a lady that's one of my correspondents, and she said that she listens to your program, and she really, really likes her. Her name is Kathleen. She's up in Troy, Michigan.
Wow.
She just tuned in you lately, and she really loves your show.
I appreciate that. I didn't know we were getting picked up in Michigan like that. We were up in Michigan at the end of September, and our car radio, I tried to get some of the station a little bit and don't recall having too much success, but it just depends on the night where you're at, where you're located. And that's pretty good. Well, welcome up there. You said Kathleen? And
yeah.
Kathleen in Troy, Michigan, love to have people up there. I know we get picked up in Canada and points north up there as well. But anywhere the signal goes, one of the reasons we like being on late at night is to the signal travels further than it does during the day. And we hope that we will be a blessing and encouragement to people. And if people like the show, pray for us. We'd love to be able to expand and do more with the radio. But, well, you know how it goes with your cable program. And of course, you know, Brother Sanders there. And it takes money to run a program, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. And every little bit, whether it's $1, $2, $5, $10, or $1,000, every little bean in a bag goes a long way. One comment that John made about Pastor Sanders doesn't believe that. He said that Pastor Sanders does not believe that the Lord could come back this year. No, I know for a fact because I sit in when Pastor Sanders goes out of town, and I'll be sitting in the 23rd, which is a Monday night on his show. Pastor Sanders is looking for the return of the Lord at any moment, just like you and I are.
And I think what he was kind of getting at was, and it's what he kind of come around to with me, was talking about the Battle of Armageddon taking place this year. And I think you'd agree with me. If you're here and I'm here, it's at least 7 years away.
Oh, absolutely. We've got to get raptured out of here.
That's right.
And then at the Antichrist will set up his shop.
But I'll tell you what, when you look at what's happening, we were talking about this in the first half of the program. Of course, anybody wants to get on this, 888-677-9673 is the number, toll-free, 888-677-9673. Get you on here tonight. But, you know, you've got these passages that it's just like they're in Psalm 83. That could have been lifted from a speech by Ahmadinejad or the leaders of Hezbollah or Hamas or any of those groups where it says, come, let us cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And it says they've consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And it goes around and lists all the Palestinian territories and the various groups there, as well as others. And other passages, such as the book of Obadiah, deal with some of that. And Isaiah chapter 17 is a great chapter for that as well. You look at some of these chapters, some of these passages. I was thinking of another one in Isaiah 34, lists some of these areas where these areas are going to just absolutely be devastated. Ezekiel 29 in verses 9 through 12 says that Egypt is going to be so devastated that nobody will be able to live in Egypt for 40 years.
Wow, now, I
think
amazing.
This stuff's amazing when you look at it, because for years I taught on Ezekiel 38 and 39, and you look at the confederation that's there, you see all these nations. You see Persia, which is modern-day Iran, and you see Gog and Magog, which takes us into Russia and Ukraine, and you see Togarma, which takes us up into Turkey, and Gomer, which many people believe includes German peoples. And then on the south, you see Ethiopia, which is all the areas to the south of Egypt, and you see Libya, which is the area to the west of Egypt. When you look on the map, it doesn't mean just the country of Libya and just the country of Egypt, but in Ezekiel 38, that refers to those areas south and west of Egypt. But you don't see Egypt mentioned. You don't see Edom mentioned. You don't see Moab mentioned. All of these ones that, as I said, Psalm 83, Obadiah, Isaiah 17, and Ezekiel 29, and others indicate that will be destroyed prior to the Ezekiel 38 battle. Well, the reason they're not mentioned in the Ezekiel 38 battle is many of them, like Egypt, is a glassy parking lot. In fact, let me read this here from Ezekiel and verse 29 here, starting that's Ezekiel 28. Let me go one more chapter here, verse 9. We'll go to verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. So this is God saying this. Behold, I will bring a sword upon thee and cut off man and beast out of thee, and the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he has said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Behold, therefore, I am against thee, against thy rivers. And notice what he says, I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the tower of Sinai, even unto the border of Ethiopia. And then he says in verse 11, no foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years, and I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate. And in other words, people nearby Egypt are going to be desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And then he says, I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and will disperse them through the countries. Now, you know, that's never happened in history, ever. And then they're going to be...
When God says something, he means it. It's going to come
right
to pass.
And a good rule of thumb in prophecy, if it hasn't been fully fulfilled in the past, then it's yet future. That's why it's prophecy. And then he says he's going to bring them back to the land. And so after 40 years, I believe that 40 years is going to go into the millennial kingdom, and that land's going to have to be restored before they can come back into it. We look at things like this, and people scoff at the Bible, but how would these people, if they just made this up, if they just pulled this stuff out of their head, how would they have come up with these things back then that line up so exactly with geopolitical boundaries today?
Pastor Davis, here's a question I've asked every atheist,
yes, sir,
and they don't want to deal with it. How is it that the Bible, the Holy Bible, we call the King James Bible, is the only book in the world that has prophecy, that archaeologists can go back and prove this stuff, and it is the only book that foretells the future as well as the past, and an atheist can look at it and read it, but yet they will not buy into the truth?
Well, there's an old saying, there's none so blind as he who will not see. And, you know, what you just said reminds me, one time when I was in the Air Force, there were some people in the area where I worked, and they were talking about what they thought would happen to them when you died. And I was actually helping fill in for somebody who was on leave. And I'm sitting there listening to this. I didn't normally work in that particular area. And so I was just kind of listening to people talk. And whatever somebody said, people would go, oh, that makes sense. That sounds good. And this one woman started going on about how when she died, she believed in reincarnation, and she was going to come back as a swarm of butterflies. Not one butterfly, but a whole swarm of them. And I thought, well, talk about your split personality. What happens if a bird eats half of them? But anyway, she said she's going to come back as a swarm of butterflies. Everybody thought, oh, that's wonderful. That's so nice. Wouldn't that be nice? And so finally, it got around to where I had a chance to say something, and I basically said, well, you know, I believe that when you die after that, the judgment, that's what the Bible says, and absent from the body, present with the Lord for believers, and everybody go, oh, that's so silly. That's just ridiculous. How could you believe something that dumb? Yet they oohed and awed over the swarm of butterflies. See, what it is people do not want the Bible to be true. And these people who they'll read and they'll get all excited about the Mayan prophecies of December 21st, I think it is, 2012.
Yeah.
Well, that's as far as the calendar went for that cycle. They didn't see the need to go any further. If you read the experts on Mayan culture, that's what they say. And yet, everybody's convinced the world's going to come to an end, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and they'll get all excited over the latest supposed understanding of Nostradamus or some obscure prophecy from some obscure corner of the world. But when you bring out the Bible,
there you go.
They don't want to believe it. I remember, again,
anytime you bring the Bible, say, well, wait a minute, you guys said the world's going to end this way, and you say all these events are going to happen. Let's go into the book of Revelation, or let's go into Daniel, let's see what God himself has to say. Right then and there, you can turn around a room and look at everybody looking at each other like, oh, here we go, another religious fanatic.
Uh-huh. It's just like, again, when back in my Air Force days, here I am. I'm in this room full of people that intelligent people, high-level security clearances, representatives of the United States Air Force, supposedly educated, aware, alert, all this good stuff, you know, to be where we were. And this guy was going on about Nostradamus, about how, oh, it's so accurate. And you know, most of the things that he said have come true. And he's only been wrong a few times. And he's going on about it. And I said, well, you know what? I know of a book where every single thing that's been said, I didn't tell him it was the Bible, I said, every single thing that it prophesied has come true. Everyone without fail, except for the ones that are yet future, of course. And he's like, wow, that's something. I'd like to see that. And I kind of built it up for a little bit. He's like, well, what book is it? And I said, the Bible. And he's like, oh, don't waste
Amen,
my time.
Brother.
Don't
that's
waste my
something.
Why is it that he's so thrilled to read Nostradamus that most of it is written like the average, you know, like the horoscope in the paper, that's so vague and so out there that you can interpret it in so many different ways and apply it to all sorts of things, which people do every time something happens. They trot out Nostradamus and try to apply it in some fashion. And yet the Bible, which names these very places that are in the news today and says what they're saying today, let's cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance, and they're consulting together with one consent confederate against Israel, and it names the ones that are doing it, lifts it right out of the papers from today. And they say, oh, well, who would believe such a foolish thing as that? But
they
give us Nostradamus.
And now you also have an explosion of all these psychics. All these women are flocking to all the psychics so they can get inner healing and learn about how they can become a better person and what's going to happen. Their minds are being taken away, and you start mentioning Jesus Christ to them, that, hey, psychic and mediums will get you in trouble. Stay away from horoscopes and all this stuff, because it'll lead you to Nostradamus and all these stuff, and you won't want nothing to do with the Bible. They scoff, and they don't want to hear. But we've got an explosion of this stuff taking place.
Yeah, here's a good question, and not really off topic, but it may seem that way at first. The UFO phenomena, why is it that whenever, in the very rare cases, or people who are abducted and have encounters with these alien entities, the subject of religions come up, the only religion that's basically attacked is the Bible and Christianity. And the idea of Jesus is constantly, they never run down Muhammad. They never run down Buddha. They run down Jesus. I mean, that's who they run down. There's a secular book written, trying to think who the name of it is, Alien Intrusion. And this guy, he researches Bigfoot and all these kind of different things going on around there. And he wrote a secular book. And in this secular book, it looked like it could have been written by a fundamentalist Baptist Bible-believing preacher. And the only difference is, if you or I had written it, people would poo-poo it. But because he's in the mainstream of the UFO, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, et cetera, type group, people will actually read it, but they don't like what he's saying about how, you can't stop this alien abduction when it starts. There's nothing, no power on earth that can stop it, except that all of them off the record that study the phenomena will admit that, well, we do know of cases where people have called on the name of Jesus and the abduction has stopped instantly.
Well, there's one thing that's a proven fact, that not one born-again Christian has ever been abducted. They've done researches and studies, and every born-again Christian has never been abducted by these fallen demonic spirits.
Well, Dave Hunt wrote a great book years ago. This is like back in the early 80s.
And I believe like Dave Hunt.
Yeah, I believe it was called The Occult Connection, something to that effect. And in that book, he brought together the idea of what we've just been talking about aliens, and also people who meditate and meet the various ascended masters, spiritual masters of the universe, that type of stuff. People who on drug trips meet these weird beings and things like that. And they all have basically the same message and the same mentality. And invariably, they're against the Bible. They're against Christians. And it's okay to believe in Jesus as long as you believe he was misrepresented by those backward Christians. And that's because it points to the same, the old walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, must be a duck. They all echo the same messages of people who encounter demons, people involved in witchcraft, Satanism, things like that. And they echo the same messages. Maybe it's because it's the same source. And certainly the devil is a master deceiver. The Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If he can delude and confuse and pull the wool over the eyes of people by appearing as a alien from the planet Moroni. I'm sorry, that was the angel from the planet Moroni, I think it was. No, that was the angel Moroni, wasn't it, from the planet Cobol, but to the Mormons. But if he can appear as an angel to a guy named Muhammad, or if he can appear as an ascended master of the universe or something like that, or whatever, even the flying spaghetti monster, whatever it is that he can do to deceive people, he'll do it.
I'm gonna get off here because you got a couple of minutes, and I'm sure you want to wrap your show up.
All right. Well, I appreciate
message.
Yeah, watching the clock here, but appreciate that.
Real good. That he said that the brain is a machine that a ghost can operate. God bless you.
All right. Thanks for the call. And we got a couple minutes left on the program. And if you want to get in here before we close with a question or something about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Want to mention Kevin and Ravenna, if you're listening, we lost your address. I wanted to send you one of those books and another one of those books, but lost your address. If you could call in and just at least give our engineer your address, we can get that to you if you're listening. Otherwise, we'll mention that. And also, next week, we're going to be talking about hospice. About once a year, we like to talk about hospice. Many of you know my wife has been a hospice nurse for many years, and we've talked to various people that she works with, talked with her about it, or talked with somebody else that she works with about hospice. And just want to mention that if you've got questions about hospice and what it means, what it is, and what it isn't, a lot of Christians have misconceptions, grave misconception about hospice. And some people have the thought that hospice means you send people there and they kill them. You know, that's basically what it boils down to. And that's not at all the same, or not at all what it is. And so want to talk about that a little bit next week, so plan on that. Got a couple of minutes left, and we have Sean in North Carolina, I believe, on with us. And Sean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing?
Welcome, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, good. Okay, nice to meet you. First time I ever heard you. I was listening on the radio there. But
glad to have you
to
tonight.
I about the NDAA.
Now, what's that, the MDAA?
The National Defense Authorization Act.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know if anybody knew it or not. But
is that the one that was just signed in with allows the military to arrest apprehend people, take them into custody?
Yeah, that's part of it. There's probably about 1,000-something pages on
yeah.
it. He did it at midnight on Christmas, New Year's Eve.
Yes, I remember that.
And everybody's talking about everything but that, they always talk about how they're going to reelect him. I mean,
well,
talking about he's going to be reelected. How can he be reelected when he did that? That's basically throwing away the Constitution and the Bible and the Independence Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and everything else.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, Sean. Because
they can't seem to beat him as president, though.
Yeah. Well, we need to. We certainly need to pray for our country. I really think that we're on the cusp here. And if another 4 years, it's like Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, sent a letter to Obama saying that he's made us a deadbeat nation. And a lot of people are afraid of another 4 years. It will be past the point of no return. And you look at some of these things. Traditionally, American military has not been allowed to carry out law enforcement activities in the United States. Except maybe perhaps in times of extreme national emergency and martial law.
Well, they've been training.
Yeah, and they've been training, and you hear stories every once in a while. Thankfully, when I was in the Air Force, but that was back in the 80s, we never really dealt with this. We never had it come up where I was at, what I was doing, or the people that I was working with. But it is going on, and these plans are being made.
Hmm? They train, they do it. They call it the Red Group, Blue Group.
Well, yeah, and what they're doing is they're making the arrangements so when the time is right, they'll be able to implement some of these things. And our music's coming up, Sean. I have to let you go.
I appreciate it very much.
Appreciate that. We'll be on again next Sunday night at 11 o'clock. Hope you'll be able to tune in maybe call us back again. But certainly appreciate that. God bless. And we want to let you know that... let's see. I mentioned our guest next week, Sean. I'm sorry, Jeff. I get the wrong guy here, Jeff Hoke. And with Harbor Light Hospice, we'll be talking about hospice issues next week. And tune in for that. But in the meanwhile, be sure and watch the situation in the Middle East and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Good night. God bless. Have a great week. Join us again next week, we hope.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing
Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.